Welcome to Extreme Faith with Dr. Gerard Curry, Senior Pastor of Christ Family Church in beautiful Port St. Lucie, Florida.
We're free. I used to be in so much bondage. I'm telling you, I was in so much bondage. I had such a religious spirit on me that I was the least free person you knew until God broke that religious spirit. You know, there is a place for religion. The Bible says true religion or real religion is this, taking care of widows and orphans. So there is a real religion. But then there's the religious attitude that is really man-made. And many people walk in that religious attitude. And it's just there's bondage in that. It's just bondage in that. So get free in church.
Yes, amen.
It's okay to be free.
Amen.
Jesus came to free you.
Yes.
Jesus came to free you. He paid a big price so we could be free, amen? And so let's rejoice in that freedom. Don't get caught up in the traps of the world and religious attitudes and all kinds of stuff. Just get free. And God will direct you. Can you say amen? Take your Bible in your hands. Let's make a faith statement. Are you ready? Let's say it. This is my Bible. As I look into the perfect law of liberty, the mirror of God's, I see myself as God sees me. I am who He says I am. I have what He says I have. I can do what He says I can do. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, living seed of my living God. My heart is receptive. My mind is alert. And I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let me ask you a question. How many of you love your church?
Yes.
Now, do you think other people may love it once they got sold out to God and came here?
Yes.
Why don't you make a decision to invite some unsaved people?
Amen.
Unsaved and unchurched people. And let them come and experience some freedom like we have.
Yeah.
Amen. It's not religion in this church. You know, a lot of people say, oh, I don't get involved in religion. You say, great, then we've got the perfect church.
Yeah.
I've had people say that to me. No, I'm not a religious person. I say, neither am I. And they look at me like I'm nuts. But you're a pastor. I said, yes, I'm a pastor.
Right.
But I'm not a religious person. Not according to the world's standards, what religion looks like. That kind of stuff is not good. So why don't you invite someone?
Amen.
Why don't you just say, hey, come to our place and come to our church. And you will be made to feel welcome and loved. And you'll get rid of sicknesses and disease, and you'll get in love with God Almighty. How many of you want to be in love with God?
Amen.
I mean, didn't you just love that last song?
Yes.
Amen. Praise God. Well, I'm going to, you know, before Palm Sunday, which was a couple of weeks ago, and then Resurrection Sunday, Easter, I was talking to us about vision. And what I wanted to do was finish that because I got to the point of explaining a lot about vision, what it is, but I never got to the place of how you're going to tap into your vision. And I think it's pretty important that we should understand about vision and tapping into our vision. Now, you know, this church has a vision.
Amen.
We have a vision. Every one of you should have a vision as well. In fact, you do have, you just don't know how to tap into it sometimes. But the vision of this church, the actual vision of this church, is to help human beings. Now, some people find that repulsive because they don't like human beings. Well, then don't become a pastor. But we are to help human beings. And if you look at the business people and entrepreneurs, the ones that make the biggest amounts of money are those that do something to improve life. And so we, as a church, want to see people from a lost world become saved. We want to see the lost, hurting, and dying get saved, healed, and set free. This is part of the vision of Christ Family Church. To see people all around us, where we work, in the Walmarts, wherever we go, we want to see them saved. And we are part of a bigger plan that God has got. The way we go about this in this church, the particular footprint God's given to this church, is by holding services and getting togethers and doing what we do, but also by giving us the schools. In the schools, a week and a half ago, we had on one day in the chapel service, 200 children saved. 200 in one day at school. Now you might think, oh, hum, Well, how about if that was your child? Would you not be rejoicing round about now? I just said 200 children saved. I mean, we're talking about life. We're talking about eternity. Not talking about you live this life and die and it's over. We're talking about eternal life that goes on and 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 on. Pick it up. And on and on and on and on and on and never stops. What happens here goes and stops. That's how quick that happens. We're talking eternal life. There can't be a greater call on the planet than to help people's lives. And we do it various ways. Now I spoke and we're speaking about once we start filling this church out, we'll go to 2 services. And if need be, 3 services. We want to build out here. We want to get place for a school and children's church and youth ministry. That's part of the vision of this church. We want to help people's lives. And if you don't have you don't really care about people, then you might want to find another place where they don't either. Amen. The people sitting next to you, you're supposed to love them, not speak about them, not come against them, not get jealous when they get blessed. I'll say that one again. Not get jealous when they get blessed. Don't get jealous because they're on the first 3 rows and you're in the 6th row. Now don't start counting because you'll get all funny. You will rejoice when a fellow member of this church, of the human race that gets born again, starts to succeed in life. You are supposed to rejoice with them. You're supposed to praise God for their promotion, for their victory. And you're supposed to lift them up in prayer and say, God, thank you so much. Bless them, bless them. Yes. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, people will know, if we're going to go around telling people, well, I'm a Christian. God said, no, they'll know that you're children of mine. How? By the love you have for one another. They're going to know. And you know what's funny is the way you'll find this. The way people treat people they don't have a need for. There's a problem there. If they treat a person that they don't know and don't really care about and just like nothing. At the car wash maybe. In the restaurant maybe. In the flea market. Come on. And you find people that you're not going to see again and you have no need for. And you treat them with disdain, you've got to realize that every single human being created on the planet is created in the image and likeness of Jesus Christ, God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Every human being. And if you can't put value on that fact alone, we have a problem. And we've got to start to see them the way God sees them, potential. We have to see them with the potential that God's put in them. And if we see people with potential and we honor them as decent and godly created, God created in God's image and likeness, maybe they're unsaved now, but they're still created by God. See, not everybody's a child of God, but everybody's created by God. And once a created person by God receives Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he becomes a child of God. And this person, even though he's unsaved, has got potential. Humongous potential. How many of you were unsaved? Now, some of you born saved. That's interesting. I'm very pleased to see that there are a lot of you guys in the street. Came out with the Bible in your hands, preaching the gospel, right? You knew all the scriptures that you know today, right? Every one of us were on this spectrum. We were on this side at one stage, unsaved. Unsaved. Every one of us, not one of us in this place was not unsaved. And we went from unsaved to saved. And the potential that we had over there is still the potential we've got over here. Now we've got to find out what that potential is so we can walk in the fullness of what God's created us for. Can you say amen? Can you put my title up, please? Vision for your life's purpose. This is part 4, and I really wanted to get through with this. The power of a godly vision. The power of a godly vision. Let me tell you, when you know your purpose, and we're going to get to all of that, when you understand and know your purpose, you will start to get vision to get to your purpose. And when you know what your purpose is, nothing can take you off that path.
Right.
Nothing. When you know it, you can start moving towards it. But most of us don't know what we're created for. We don't have a clue what we're supposed to be doing. I did a teaching a few weeks ago, and I would encourage you to all go and see it online. It was, I spoke about, and I touched on it in a Sunday service, but I took it on a Wednesday night, the whole hog. And it's about your vocation. What you do in your life. Does that have any meaning? Is it interesting to God? Or am I just in the secular world? And I entitled it Sacred versus Secular. Because so many people think, unless I'm standing on the altar and doing the fivefold ministry work, then it's got no meaning in heaven. And I thought that for the longest time. Then it's got no meaning in heaven. Well, let me just tell you this. Every talent that you've got in your life, every ability that you've got in your life was given heaven by God.
Yeah.
It was put in you and it was placed in you. And not one of you have got the same. None of you can take over mine and I can't take over any of yours. And so every one of us have got certain gifts and talents. And you, and I don't know what it is. But that's part of the assignment. And you can start finding out. We're going to get to that as well in a bit later. But you've got a purpose and an assignment in your life. And it does not have to be in the fivefold ministry. You don't have to be employed by the church in order to get this thing recognized by God.
Amen.
Listen, who gave you the gift? Who gave you the talents that you've got? It all comes from God anyway. When you were fearfully and wonderfully created, wonderfully designed, God put those gifts in you. He was designing you. He was creating you like a potter. He takes that pot and he molds it to what he wants. He doesn't make an ashtray when he's looking for a vase. You say vase, I say vase. He won't make a little ashtray flat that when he wants a vase that big.
Amen.
And God made you the way he wanted you. He made you the way he visioned you.
Amen.
He visualized you with all of your traits that you have, all of your skin color, the DNA. Oh my goodness, the DNA. All comes from God.
Amen.
Your hair color, your eye color, everything about you. It all comes from God anyway.
Amen.
Is that right? We were created by God. So the gifts that you have and the talents that you have to do certain business and to do certain work is given to you from God.
Amen.
It's all from him anyway. So if he gave me a talent to perform in life somewhere along the line, I need to start finding out how that talent can be beneficial to people. And every talent and every gift you've got can be beneficial for people.
Amen.
Even if it's poetry, even if it's art, if it's music, if it's accounting, no matter what the gift is, no matter what the talent is, it can be beneficial to people on the planet. And if you start to look at your vocation as a God-called vocation, not, well, I'm in the secular world. You're not in the secular world, and we broke that down. You need to go and look at Wednesday night. It was Wednesday night, when was it? April the 10th. Go on our webpage, go and look at the teaching there, secular versus sacred. And the way the devil has come and separated the classes of people. You think you've got middle class, lower class, and upper class in the world. You've got it going on in the church.
Oh,
God, they got it going on in the church big time. You're the laity. I'm not laity. I'm part of the fivefold ministry. And we separate people and say, God's got a call for you, but he doesn't have a call for you. It's a lie from the pit of hell. Every person, that every job that you've got, and every gift and talent you have, was given to you by God, and now you need to find out what that talent is and start to utilize that talent and say, this is a God-given talent and I'm going to use it to benefit the world. I don't give you flip burgers.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Extreme Faith. To hear this message in its entirety, log on to ChristFamilyChurch.net or join us for our live services on Sundays at 10 a.m. in our beautiful Tradition Town Hall facility.
Good Country Homestyle Cooking is found at Crossroads Restaurant. Your place for beef and pork roast, chicken and dumplings, fried turkey breast with lots of veggies and salad bar. Family owned and operated since 1991, Crossroads Restaurant is open 5:30 to 2:30, Monday through Saturday, and Sunday 7 to 2:30. Takeout orders available. Crossroads Restaurant, a corporate underwriter of WCNO.